Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Part of what drives my coaching career, and by extension this podcast, is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. I believe that there is tremendous power in choice. We are confronted with choices from the time we wake up in the morning until the time our heads hit the pillow at the end of the day. Will I choose to believe in possibilities for myself? Or will I choose to believe in my limitations? Will I choose courage? Or will I choose fear? Will I choose to listen to those who believe in me? Or will I choose to listen to those who doubt me and tell me that I'm not good enough? Will I choose to do the work that I know that I need to do in order to move towards my desired future? And will I choose that consistently, every day, not just once or not just for a couple of weeks, but every day for the long haul? I spent about 10 years of my life recovering from an illness that one doctor said I only had a 3% chance of recovering. And here's what I learned. I had to choose possibilities. Even when I wasn't even fully sure of what those could be, I had to choose courage. I had to choose to listen to those who believed that I would recover. And I had to do the tedious, grinding work that, at the beginning, seemed so bleak and so far away from any sort of desirable future. But I knew one truth. If I did nothing, nothing would change. And at least I was going to give myself a chance at a desirable future. This podcast was created to help you make the choices that will propel you towards your desired future. So what are we waiting for? Let's get to this week's episode. Before introducing this week's guest, I want to tell you something that I'm super excited about. It's a new segment of the Unyielded podcast called Rise and Thrive. It's going to be coming out on Mondays, and it's intended to be fuel for you, fuel for your week, and fuel for mastering your life. They're very short segments, somewhere between 5 to 10 minutes, and they're intended as a kickstart for your week. So I hope you tune in, watch for them coming in October. Ready for an energizing conversation on self-mastery and self-love? Because here we go. My guest today is a self-love coach, and she is a nutritionist and food and body image coach. She is the founder of the Ditch the Scale Academy, where she coaches women in finally healing their relationship with food from the root and stepping into their power. But, spoiler alert, her coaching has very little to do with food. And it has everything to do with our emotions, the stories we tell ourselves, how we self-sabotage, and how we can claim our power and fulfill our soul's curriculum for us. Her name is Andrea Montoya, and it's time to meet her. Andrea, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I loved I think it was last Friday when we had our initial call. And I'm like, man, we should have just been taping that because it was so good.
I know.
It was awesome. So would you kind of kick us off? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I guess I'll get right to the nitty gritty of it, right? So in high school and college, I dealt a lot with different eating disorders, emotional eating, binge eating, bulimia, a lot of yo-yo dieting, restrictive dieting. And all of that developed into, you know, this, again, eating disorders and emotional eating that I was in college for engineering, 3 years into biomedical engineering.
Oh my goodness.
And I decided, I was like, you know what? This isn't, mom, you're going to kill me. I know I'm about to graduate, but I need to go into nutrition. This is what I love. This is what, you know, I'm really struggling with and need support with. And I want to be able to figure this out for myself and for other women and men and other people out there. And so I went into nutrition. I became a nutritionist. I became a personal trainer, a health coach. And I was a nutritionist and I was giving people meal plans and I was doing all that personal training people. I had no problem working out, but I would come home and I would just binge and I had absolutely no control around food. And I was getting my master's in holistic nutrition. And it was just like, I had all the knowledge. Like I knew all the things about food. I knew exactly like metabolism, what happened, how to work out, the health piece. Like I had accumulated a lot of knowledge, but I still couldn't control myself around food. So it wasn't until I started doing more of the internal work, right? Until I started actually looking at the emotional part of behind emotional eating and stress eating, at the actual stress part and the psychology and the emotions behind why we do what we do, that I was completely able to shift everything in my life. And so from there, I became a self-love. This is like a super quick piece of the story, but yeah, self-love coach, food and body image coach. And it's shifted everything for myself, for clients, because I saw clients doing the same thing, right? I was giving them meal plans. They would lose weight and then they would gain it again. And so, yeah, it was, this shifted everything for myself, for clients, for everyone.
Yeah, that's really cool. And now your company is called Ditch the Scale, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I can see how that's tied into your story. So what did you, as you started going into this, what did you learn about like the emotional reasons or, you know, why we do these things?
Yeah. So what I learned is that we are not really taught how to process our emotions, right? When we're younger, we're pretty much told to suck it up, to not cry. And, you know, this is obviously mothers being great mothers worry about their kids and don't want them to feel pain and don't want them to get hurt. And so that, you know, we fall off our bike and it's like, let me just make sure you're okay. And don't cry. And I'll fix this. Right. Like we want to heal the pain as fast as possible and make it go away as fast as numb it as fast as possible with like drugs or whatever it may be. And even, you know, you go through a breakup and you're told, let's go have ice cream. Right. It's like, it's always, right. There's always a kind of like way to numb the pain. We're kind of taught that pain isn't good, right? Like pain hurts and pain shouldn't be there. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned through this whole process is that it's all this conditioning, but the truth is that our power is in our pain. Our power is in connecting to our emotions and actually extracting the lessons from them. It's like we were talking about before on this, that our body doesn't speak English, right? It communicates to us in sensations. It communicates to us in even physically, right? You have knee pain and your body is communicating that there's something going on maybe with your knee or with something, some muscle around it where it needs support. It's the same thing emotionally. You're feeling overwhelmed. Your body is trying to tell you, hey, slow down. You know, it's communicating in all these different sensations and feelings and emotions, but we're taught to just numb them. And so that's kind of what I was doing with food, right? And some people, food is just the most socially acceptable and readily available drug on the market. There's people use drugs to numb the feelings that they don't know how to process or heal or deal with, right? People use social media, sex, alcohol. It's just food is easy, right? It's kind of what's most socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Like it's enabled by society. It's like, let's go eat. You feel this way. Let's eat to celebrate. Let's eat to, you know, it's all food.
We eat to celebrate. We eat to grieve. We eat to deal with stress. We eat to feel better. You know, ice cream can solve almost anything, you know?
Yep, yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot in there, you know, because I think you're right. From a very early age, we're taught, I don't want to say to set aside our emotions, but maybe to push through them, to numb them. I read a book years ago called The Dance of Anger, and it was written by a PhD, and I'm blanking on her name right now, but it was a great book because, you know, we're also taught you should never feel anger, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, there's nothing wrong with feeling the emotion of anger because that is a data point. Now, what we do with that, you know, if we lash out, that's not so good. But what I'm hearing you say is all of these emotions, these are data points.
Exactly. It's data. It's information. It's just like anger. I like to say that anger is a secondary emotion. It usually comes from like this hurt, sadness. There's usually some sort of hurt there, but we use anger because it makes us feel more powerful. So it's a way to protect ourselves, right? So it's a protection mechanism is to get angry. But
you're right.
But it's all information. It's all our body communicating. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was just doing another podcast interview, and we were talking about making decisions and how to make better decisions. And the guy said, one of the things you can do is give yourself the space. Like, so if someone makes a request, don't answer right away and ask yourself, like, how does this feel? And I was thinking, like, what something I've done for years is when someone makes a request and I imagine myself saying yes, how does my body respond to that? Because for me, my stomach and my shoulders usually don't lie. You know? So if they kind of clinch, ooh, I'm like, that's a good data point. But yeah. I think we have to tune into that at the same time.
Yeah. And that's exactly. And that's a lot of what I do in my academy. I know I market everything towards food and stuff because that's what I dealt with. And you know, you got to like niche down in business and stuff.
That's right.
But I do not talk about food at all because it has nothing to do with food. Food is just the thing that we're using to numb. Right. But it's just what you said. It's like, the reason that we're even needing to do this work is because there's this disconnection. There's a disconnection from the body. There's a disconnection and we're continuing to disconnect and to numb. So we do need to establish this. It's a reconnection to ourselves, to our intuition. Just like you said, your body, that data your body is giving you, your shoulders, your gut, it's your intuition. It's letting you know. But it's just like with feeling intuition, we've been taught to kind of push that aside. It's almost like you were saying, you're not sure, maybe set aside or numb or push through emotions. I think, yeah, we've been taught that they're not as valuable as logic. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's this disconnect from like our body and our hearts are telling us something, but society is like, no, logic. Like this is more important, but is it, that's where we get to, what's really cool with all this work is we get to see what's true for me.
That's
Right. It's like, we get to question those belief systems and what we were taught. What is it that's true for me? Do I believe that logic comes first or could my body actually be letting me know something? Cause I believe the body has so much wisdom that we've disconnected from. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do we go back to, cause I think you're right. You know, we are disconnected. We've been taught to not pay attention to our intuition. I think I was lucky. My father actually taught me to pay attention to mine. That's a whole different story. But how do we reconnect?
Yeah. So that's I have like a whole 6-month academy.
So what would be your 1 to 3 tips for it?
Definitely just having the awareness. I think the very first thing is all. So there's 2 things that I'm going to say. One is presence and awareness. I know the word presence is like thrown around a lot, but it truly is like at the root of so many, we can't heal something we're not aware of. Right.
Yep.
So just having the awareness, like, okay, cool. This is what's going on in my body. Taking deep breaths. The easiest way to reconnect to our bodies is through the breath. And it's the most incredible and underutilized free tool that we could ever use. It's literally like most of the times we're freaking out, we're eating, we're stressed. And like, we take a deep breath and that is all we need, right? Like when people turn to food, most it's not the food that we want. It's the feeling that we think that food is going to give us. And it's like that comfort and that deep breath sometimes just does it for you as well. So number one is that reconnection, that having that presence, the breath allows us to like come back and get out of our heads and get in our bodies. The second piece is knowing that we're safe to be there. One of the biggest things that I see with clients, and that those are the first 2 things that we always work on, is becoming aware of what's going on and then knowing that it's safe to reconnect, knowing that it's safe, that your body's never going to give you more than you can handle. I know that like sometimes that we don't want to feel because we're like, well, what if I go there? Right. It's like these emotions, I'm going to get sucked into this hole and I'm never going to be able to come out. And we don't feel it's safe to connect to our bodies. So it's this building this safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes total sense to me. And the thing about the breath is we've heard that for years. And I think a lot of times it's like, oh yeah, I know to take a deep breath, but that's not really going to help me. But the neuroscience on what happens to your body when you stop and you take a deep breath is stunning. I mean, it's
actual research. It's not
science.
Like, yeah, it's science. Like I know some of the stuff that I teach, it's all very like woo-woo and self-love and whatever. And people are like, but there's actual science and research behind all of this stuff. And the breath is just incredible. It's incredible. Oh,
It's an amazing mechanism. Yeah. And it's free. Why aren't we using this? Yeah. No. I also love that you said, how you said it, we can't heal something that we aren't aware of. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, knowing that we're safe. So safe with the emotions that might come up that we might be dealing with.
Just safe to be with ourselves. I think for most of the time, safe to be in our bodies. So most of the time we feel something and we want to like escape, get out of our bodies, numb, turn to the food, turn to just get out.
Binge watching something on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like squash it down. Like it's not safe to feel, it's not safe to be with ourselves. We want to like be really busy, make ourselves super, but most of the time there's a lot of women that I deal with, these perfectionism over, it was me 100% of just overachieving because I didn't feel worthy, because I needed to do in order, because if I slow down and I'm with myself, what's going to come up? That's scary. It's not safe to do that. So yeah, a lot of that. And yeah, just understanding that emotions are energy in motion, right? It's like clouds in the sky. We're not afraid to be stuck in happiness, yet we feel like we're going to get stuck in the sadness, right? Or like the sadness isn't okay to feel because, or the grief isn't okay to feel because we're going to be stuck there. But it's like, sometimes it rains, sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's clear, right? And what's really cool is when you actually reconnect, I have clients, we do something called feelers where we connect and we kind of, it's like we have someone else that's watching us feel what's going on with the body as we kind of voice what's going on. It's a really cool practice. And you just start noticing as you're being witnessed, you start noticing like the energy moves. Like it literally, like you can feel this, I don't know, like the tightness in the throat or and you can actually reconnect and feel the energy, like give it a color, give it a shape, and almost like with a breath, like have it, you know, like release it through. It's really beautiful what you can start to understand as you reconnect and feel energies actually move in the body.
Yeah. Obviously the listeners can't see it, but I like the way that you're kind of like shaking your hands, like to release it. Right. I had a coach. Oh my gosh, this is going back. I was in my late 20s at the time. And I too was brought up in that environment where, you know, we weren't supposed to cry. You weren't supposed to feel sad, no matter, you know, if something, and it wasn't an uncaring type of thing, but it was just set it aside, be strong, push through it, whatever. And my coach said to me, she's like, your body doesn't work that way. It holds on to things until you decide to process it. And she said, the longer you hold on, no, the longer you resist it, the longer you're actually holding on to it.
Yeah.
And that's what this reminds me of.
Yeah. So what I love to say is that what we resist persists, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. The more that we believe that like, if we just squash it down, we don't feel it, it'll just go away. But it's the complete opposite, right? It just kind of festers. And then until we explode, and then all of a sudden you explode because your husband left a towel on the floor or something. It had nothing to do with the towel. It's just all these different things, right?
That's right. Had nothing to do with a pair of socks or that the toothpaste was squeezed in the middle, not at the end. It was all this other stuff. It is. I always think about it as like, if you physically cut yourself, you tend to the wound, right? You don't just slap a Band-Aid on it and say, well, it doesn't exist. That doesn't make it go away.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh my gosh, so much stuff.
That's actually something that I love to say is like, we tend to just put Band-Aids on bullet wounds kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just cover it up and that's it. But you're not actually dealing with the thing that's going on at the root. Yeah.
It's not going to make it go away. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit ago, you said our power is in our pain. Can you tell me more about what you mean by that? Because I love that expression.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the biggest problems that we have as humans is that we believe we shouldn't have problems, right? It's like, and the thing is like, we strive for like this comfort and we just want to, you know, we feel uncomfortable in the uncomfortable, in the pain.
That's right.
But, and so we avoid pain at all costs. One of the most beautiful things that I've learned is to find and understand how, and actually get excited. I feel like self-mastery for me has come in like being excited about the triggers, being excited about the uncomfortable, because I know when something triggers me, that shows me it. My body is communicating to me that there's something to heal there. And now, now I have an awareness of something else to heal. And that's beautiful because now I'm just going to become a better human. I can process this. I can heal it. And I just get better and better from there. Right. So we can look back. We can all to build on this belief that our pain really is powerful. I'm sure we all have evidence of just even our breakups that have made us better humans, right? It's like at the moment you thought it was the worst pain of your life. And now thanks God that happened. One, you're not with that person anymore. It saved you a lot of trouble. Two, now you're a better human for the person that you're with, right? It's all these, like, if we were comfortable all day long, it would not be exciting. There'd be absolutely no growth. There would be nothing. I don't know. It would kind of be boring.
I completely agree. And when you first started talking about that, just then I was thinking, I think you're right. There is this, if I feel any kind of discomfort, if I feel any kind of pain, if I have any kind of challenge or adversity, something's wrong. Versus, I think it's a normal part of life. Do I want it to be like every day? Yeah. No. You know, and have you ever read the book, The Road Less Traveled?
I haven't.
Oh,
well, I've heard it, but.
Yeah. I don't know. It might be from the 80s or 90s, but it is, to me, a classic. And I remember one day, oh my gosh, this is going back to the mid 90s. Okay. And I was going through this time, kind of family stuff was not pretty. Okay. And I took a mental health day from work. And I said to my boss, I'm like, Nick, I've got to have some time. And he's like, take the rest of the day off. So I did. Went to a bookstore, found that book, and I went to a park and I opened it up. And the first line said, life is hard. The sooner we accept that, the easier it becomes. And I was like, so I'm not doing anything wrong. This is a normal part of the process. And there was something that brought me comfort in thinking it's a process. And that's kind of what I'm hearing when you got excited about, ooh, you know, my body's telling me something. It's like, this is part of the process. It's the next learning opportunity. Am I kind of on track there?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's like, in order to become the next version of ourselves, we have to go through some stuff, right? We have to learn. There is going to be some discomfort in that. And I think, you know, sometimes I get on social media and stuff, I'll get messages like, oh, how come you're so high vibe and energetic and whatever and happy all the time? Like, how do you stay happy all the time? And I'm like, well, because I don't fight what is, right? And I think that's the biggest thing. I think where a lot of our suffering and discomfort and all that comes from is in this, like, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be, I got to fight this. I'm pissed off. I'm sad because it's wrong. I'm not supposed to be feeling this. But the more that we can just embrace, it is what it is. I can choose to be unhappy and fight it and just have this really bad experience, or I can choose to embrace it and see how I can extract a lesson from it. How is this serving me? Right. Because I just fully believe that everything is happening for us in perfect timing.
That's right.
Yeah.
The lessons unfold as we need them to. And when you said, you know, don't fight what is, oh my God, this is like it is what it is. That's like one of my favorite expressions or philosophies that has brought me so much peace. Back when I was diagnosed with, and I'm completely fine now, but it was a really heavy diagnosis. And the doctor said, only 3% of people who have this will experience full recovery. And this was back in 2003. And now I'm like, you know, a way better athlete and everything than I was back then. But at the time, I remember we went home and my then boyfriend, now husband, he said, wow, he said, this really isn't fair. And he said, I'm really sorry. And I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's fair. It is. And this is what I have to deal with, because think about all the energy we waste when we're fighting, like, it shouldn't be this way, or it isn't fair. It doesn't matter. It is. So let's deal with that. And the more we do that, the more we reserve some of our power.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because what are we focusing on? You know,
that is everything. It's just that you're giving away your power to all these things by letting them get you angry. It's like, I was talking to one of the ladies. I had a group coaching call with the Academy this morning. And one of the things that came up is like, this person's super angry. This something someone else did. And so they were like eating and stuff because of that. But just in general, they were just giving away their power to this other person. And one of the things, it's just exactly what you said. It's like, when we are giving away our power, like allowing someone to make us angry or a situation to make us angry, it means that our happiness depends on them. You know what I mean? Like, our happiness, I can't be happy unless they allow me to be happy. And like, that's pretty
much what I'm
saying. That's pretty much, but no, it's, I can be, I choose. And that's the biggest thing, is to learn that we can feel whole. We can control our emotions. without the external needing to look or be a certain way, right? Like the, because we try to just like control and manipulate the external so much. And that this is where I really struggled in the past, is there was so much fear of a certain outcome, right? Like, why did I diet so hard and exercise so hard? It's because there was a fear of an outcome, right? I was so afraid of the outcome that then I controlled and manipulate everything around me. And the control was very fear-based. And then everything's just so fear-based that I'm stressed out. I'm giving my power away to all these things.
Yeah.
The moment that I'm not fighting it anymore. And I'm just like, listen, it is what it is. Right. That doesn't mean that I don't work towards my goals or anything like that. It's just, accepting just means now I can focus on what I actually want versus focusing on what I don't want, which then giving that the energy.
Yep.
And then losing my power to that. Right.
Yeah. We can spend so much time focused on what we don't want, and it doesn't move us any closer to what we do want, you know? So totally get that.
Whenever I ask clients in the beginning, you know, we do the next 6 months, what do you want? What most people, well, I don't want this, this, and that. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the question, right? But we're so clear on what we don't want, and what we focus on expands, and what we resist persists. So that's where we keep getting more of what we don't want.
Yep. But it's funny how quickly we go there, you know, and I don't know if you hear this, but sometimes I hear that. Well, not sometimes, I hear this a lot too. You start to hear the shoulds and the oughts, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, where are those coming from? And a lot of times, you know what, those are coming from someone else, you know? So it's like, how do we tap into what do I really want? Who am I, you know, authentically, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes. And that's that same reconnection. Right. Yep. That almost ties it all back to the beginning of like reconnecting.
Uh-huh.
Is this my belief? Is this what I believe to be true? What do I actually want? Reconnecting to our bodies, reconnecting to even like the signals that our body gives us, such as like when we're talking about food, hunger and fullness signals, we've lost it. It's noon. We got to eat. Are you hungry? Are you not? Doesn't matter. It's lunch.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
We rang the bell. It's time for lunch.
Yeah, you better eat the whole plate, or because there's kids starving in Africa, or there's right. And so we're forced. And so we go past fullness signals. We eat no matter, are we hungry? Are we not? We're still eating. And so we've just, it's that same, that's almost like a physical thing, example of showing how we've lost that connection with our body, but it's the same for intuition and for all of that stuff. Yeah.
It's a really good example though.
Yeah.
You know, and some of that social pressure, right? Well, it's noon. We have to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
So this to me ties to something you said when we were talking, I think it was last week, and you said reconnecting to the truth of who we are. Is this kind of what you meant by that?
Yeah. I know for myself, it went down at, like my healing really transformed once I also started not just reconnecting to the psychology, the emotions, but like a higher power as well, like got started getting into a little bit more of a spiritual piece, not any specific religion or anything like that, but just understanding that like, who am I really?
Yeah.
Like, am I this body? Am I soul, a spirit? What does that mean? And like realizing my potential and reconnecting to the fact that I'm this, like, that we all are just such light and love, and we're these incredible limitless beings, yet we just have all of this conditioning, right? And so we just get to peel off these layers. And so that's kind of what I mean about reconnecting to who we truly are. It's just like, it's reconnecting to at our core.
Yeah.
The fact that we are so much, we're just so much love, and we're so much joy. And that's, you know, like that's what's normal.
Yeah.
That's
what it can be.
Yeah. No.
And here, I think here's part of the dichotomy. It goes to something you said earlier, because what you're talking about there is like, that's my motivation, right? Because I think that we all have so much potential.
Yeah.
And how do we reach it? How do we tap into that? You know, and there's so many things that go on. But the dichotomy is part of that is, what was it? You were saying that it's safe to be with ourselves, right? Because so many people, they don't like the quiet. I had a friend once, and she's like, I cannot stand being by myself. And I'm like, why? And I thought it was like, you know, I live in the country and I'm afraid to, you know, physically. And she's like, I don't like being with myself. And I'm like, ooh, I can't imagine that. Right. So she was continually running. So if we never have that time though, to do the kind of reflection, to do the kind of processing, it's hard to move towards our true and authentic self. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's this, I don't know if that's a way that we self-sabotage, but it definitely, I think, gets in the way.
Yeah.
You know, because it's necessary, that time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just sometimes I think the way that I call it, or what I tend to see, is, well, a lot of people are interested in healing, but they're not committed to it.
Oh.
And much less devoted to themselves and their body, right? So most of there's some women that I work with that I'm like, okay, she's just interested. You're not doing the work. You're not, you know, there's a piece of actually, you know, next level of interested is like really being committed, and then devoted to this work is just like a whole nother level.
That's right? Great distinctions.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's a big piece. And then the other thing is just being integral with your ask as well. For example, this is just another quick, easy example, is like, we'll ask, you know, I want to be more patient. For example, I want to be more patient. And then the kids are going crazy. And it's like, you said you wanted to be more patient. The universe is giving you the opportunity to practice this patience in order to become more patient. Yet we avoid it. We scream. We're like that. Right. But that was it. There's resistance and that's what almost what I talk about with the discomfort, right? The power being in our pain. Is it painful to deal with the kids and all that? Yeah. But once you do that, it's like, that's what you needed to grow.
That's what you needed
to develop more patience. That's what you wanted, right? That's what you asked for. So most of the time we're asking for this healing. We're asking for this growth, but we meet that resistance and we're like, yeah, nope, not doing it. Never mind.
Right? Yep. I love that. I heard it on a podcast and I can't remember who it was, but it just resonated. And it's the same thing. We ask for patience, or we ask for strength or courage, or we pray for those things. You're not given that. You're given the experience that brings that out. And it's the patience and the kids.
I love that.
You know what I mean? That's what it is. So what are some of the ways, because my God, we could talk about this all day. What are some of the ways that you see people self-sabotage?
Okay. So self-sabotage that's a big topic.
Huge topic.
Some of the ways that I actually see people if I'm working with women around food, then that looks like, obviously, you know, yo-yo dieting, you lose the weight, then you gain it back. That may look like, even just with this work, just like we said, that the patience one, that's one that I was working with ladies this morning on, is, yeah, you ask for patience. Here's the thing. Just like you said, it's not like patience is just installed in your body. It's like, here's the experience that's going to help you develop that patience.
You don't go to the app store and download patience. You know what I
mean? That'd be nice, but that's not how it works. So yeah, so that's where we get to embrace that our power is in our pain. But self-sabotage, how do I see it, or why does it happen, like at the root? What I tend to see is, I'll just give an example, again, around food, just because that's kind of what I deal with on the daily, is, let's say there's a woman who was taught that, or whose brother, when she was little, whose brother said, you know, you're the big girl. You're the big girl. You're the big girl, right? For me, I always believed I'm just big boned. I'm big boned. Like, that's just right. Like, that's just who I am. Once that's your identity, right? From a very young age, you believed your identity is, I'm the big girl. Your belief about yourself, this is who I am. And this is how I get attention. This is how I get love. This is just who I am, right? Then you start to kind of, most of the time when we want to lose weight or we want to change certain things, we work on behavior change. Right. So we work at it, which is very surface level. You're not getting to like the emotions. You're not getting to the thoughts. You're not getting to the belief systems, the identities. You're just like, behavior change. Let me just change the behavior. Let me just diet. Right. So maybe you start dieting, you start working out more, you're starting to lose the weight. And it's like, oh my God, subconsciously you start to self-sabotage, because it's like, wait, this isn't, I'm the big girl. Who am I if I'm not the big girl? And so our ego and our body will do everything to prove that we're right, right? Our ego is very, our ego wants to prove that we're right, that our belief system, if you've been telling yourself your whole life that you are anxious, you're going to look for everything to prove that you're anxious. You're going to start healing and you're going to go, nope. You believe that you're anxious, and that's meeting your needs in some way, right? I'm sure through having anxiety, you might be getting attention, you might be getting love, you might be getting connection. And so if I let go of the anxiety, who am I? do people still love me? Do people still accept me? What, right? So it's more of dealing with once we shift the identity.
Yeah.
Once we shift the actual belief systems, that's the root. Now, if you believe differently, like if you believe that you eat for health and hunger, whatever, or that you're this calm, whatever, if we shift the actual belief, now the thoughts are going to shift, the emotions are going to shift, the actions are going to shift as a byproduct of that work, right?
Yeah. So part of that is like the stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes those stories, maybe other people said that about us and we just kind of took those on and put them on and never questioned them.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So this is something that you help people kind of recognize, like the way that they're doing this.
Definitely. That's the biggest piece of the work is actually becoming aware of why, like, and that's what I mean. It's at the root cause. Why am I acting the way I'm acting? Why am I not doing the things I know I should be, right? I accumulated all the knowledge. That's what most of us do. We accumulate knowledge as to why we should do the things.
That's right.
Why we actually do them. We're always looking externally. Okay. Like I need a coach to tell me what to do here, what to do, but why don't we actually put in the work? Why don't we do it? And it's usually comes down to different beliefs. We'll do so much more to avoid pain than we will to gain pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we believe that there is pain associated to losing weight or to whatever, and that might look like, again, I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest examples, when I was dealing with my eating disorder, I was bulimic and through having this problem, I became my mom's favorite child, right? Now all the attention was on me, positive or negative attention. That eating disorder served me. I got love. I got significance. I got connection. There was some variety in my life. It was exciting, right? Without this eating disorder. And so that's why I say sometimes it serves us.
That's right.
I am bulimic. If that's who I am and that's my identity, then that's really hard to let go of, knowing that there's this fear of there might be pain associated to letting go of this eating disorder. Because now, do I still get the love? Do I still get the attention? Do I still get, right? That's how I'm meeting my
need.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does serve us in some strange way.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's where addictions do serve food, drugs. They are serving us in a strange food meets so many of our needs. We connect to people through food. We, again, having problems, we love problems because that makes us feel important. And when we're so used to connecting through suffering.
Yeah. God, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, it triggered a thought. It's similar, related, not completely the same, but even about our experiences, like if we tell ourselves, oh, this is going to be hard, like, I love road cycling and I live in the Rockies and there's this one hill on the way back and it is tough. The pitch is really hard. It is a hard hill, but as I'm approaching it for like the mile before this hill, I'm like, oh, I'm coming up to that tough hill. I'm coming up to that tough hill. And I was out last week and I'm like, you're making this even harder. Like you're predetermining this. And so I shifted it to, hey, you know what? This is my opportunity to really hit this, you know, and be strategic in how I ride this thing. And you know what? It's not as hard as it changed the way that I even biked, you know, something that's simple. I mean, it's a simple example, but we do that all the time. Oh, that's going to be really tough. It's going to be really hard.
That same thing. You know, you're like the pain. Oh no, resisting it. Oh, that shouldn't be there. But it's like, it's that same thing. Seeing the trigger, seeing the pain and being like, all right, not this is hard, but like, this is a challenge. Bring it on. Let's do this.
This is going to make me stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I do this hill well, it's just going to make me stronger. That's awesome. So, all right. So I'm dying to ask you this, and I've been wanting to, but we got talking and it was so great. You said self-love coach. Tell me what that means. What does that look like?
It looks like it honestly just looks like all of the same work of just reconnecting to the self. And I think one of the biggest pieces is feeling comfortable in our bodies. It's like accepting that this is, and again, for me, it's gotten more spiritual, but it's like, this is the one tool that we have to fulfill our soul's curriculum, to live this life to the fullest, right? And this is the thing that allows us to experience life and to experience the emotions and the highs and the lows. And it's just it's so beautiful. So we get to just, it's about actually feeling comfortable in our skin, in our bodies, not wanting to always escape it, right? It's about, yeah, just accepting and actually loving on ourselves. I mean, there's different practices that I know that I kind of started with to start with the whole self-love piece.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what if that's specifically what you want to ask or.
No, this is great. And then do you ever get pushback? Like, oh, I'm not worthy of loving myself, or, you know, that's prideful, you know, those types of things. Do you ever get that?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of women that, and again, it's kind of the same thing that we're talking about right now. It's, they choose to focus on, well, no, you know, I can't forgive myself for all the things that I've done in the past. I'm not worthy of this, or I'm not. And again, it's like, I was talking to a client and she had like, all these things are going so well now and whatever. And she's like, no, but I can't accept that I did this in the past. And it's just, again, it's this understanding that everything is happening for us in perfect timing. If I were to sit here and just focus on the things that I did when I was, you know, and at
12,
depressed, anxious. Yeah. Like how does that sit? Like, I understand now fully that even my eating disorder happened for me. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have this opportunity to like do all this work and learn so much and work on myself if it wasn't for all of that. Like, that needed to happen for me to get to where I am today. So it's really cool. It's all happened for us. It's a lot of the self-love work is forgiving ourselves, accepting ourselves. And just seeing ourselves from a completely different perspective, completely different light, seeing the highest, best, most authentic version of ourselves, our potential, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Cause I think we hang on to those things. Like, oh, well, I remember when I was 12 and I did this. Okay.
Yeah,
you were 12, for crying out loud.
Yeah. But again, the reason why a lot of women, men tend to hold on to that is because it's serving them. So yeah, it's the same connecting through suffering. Oh my God, if things are going really well, like, I need to focus on something in the past to connect to people with, right? Or, and you know, most of the time I've talked to women and like, well, things are going awesome. Like, no one wants to go to lunch with that girl who's just doing great at life, right? And that's what we believe, that we have to play small in order to be accepted, in order to be loved. And we all, at the end of the day, we all just want love. And so if there's a fear of like, I'm going to lose love, if I love myself and I'm doing great and I'm happy and whatever, then that's where we'll also self-sabotage and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
But it's all different conditioning and beliefs and stuff.
Yeah. And you've said that a few times, you know, sometimes we play small, either we choose to play small or we just play small. We're not even making that as an intentional choice. How would you encourage someone to step outside that?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that when we play small, it's almost like it's enabling everyone else to play small as well. It's like, if we're connecting through suffering, then we all connect through suffering, then we all, right? But when you actually step out of your comfort zone and you do your things and you play a big life and, you know, just express yourself, most of the people, like, jealousy is a beautiful thing. It just shows us what we want that's not yet, that we're not yet expressing, right? Most of us are jealous of women that really express themselves and really, and it's because we want that, right? Like, that's something that's asleep within us and we want to express ourselves more. And so, and again, that's, so if that's triggering for someone because someone else is playing big, that's just teaching us where we need to heal. That's teaching us what's dormant within us. If we take that opportunity or not, that's not on the other person, right? That's on us. So when we play big in our lives, it's just, it, now we're showing other people what's possible. Now, I mean, thank God, you know, people with the 4-minute mile, whatever. It's like,
that's right.
Someone did that. And now you were like, oh my God, it's possible. Now let's all give it a shot, right?
Yeah. And what, within, when Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, what was it? And they thought people would die if they ever did that, right? Because they didn't think the human body could do it. What was it like, within 30 days, two other people broke his record?
Yeah.
30 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it just,
I don't know exactly, but it's something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. It gives others the permission to do that for themselves.
Yes.
And you know,
even with, for many of us, we need setting boundaries. We're so afraid to set boundaries because we're, you know, that's a big one for a lot of the women that I work with. And it's, if I set a boundary, now it's actually allowing, it's just like you said, it's giving permission to others to do the same. If I express myself and I dance in the middle of the supermarket, whatever, like it's allowing others, you know, it's this, and it's cool. It's contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It draws people to us, I think.
Exactly.
Maybe not if I were to dance at this grocery store, but you know what? Who cares? Maybe make someone else feel better. Like, okay, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. We're so afraid of what people may think, you know? And it's,
And most people are so caught up in their own things. They wouldn't even notice if you danced at the grocery store.
Exactly. And it's really what we get to understand is that we are not going to make everyone happy. And
no.
There's no way that everyone loves us and likes us. And it's just what someone else thinks of us is the way that they view the world, right? It doesn't have anything to do with you as much as it has to do with how they view the world, their belief systems and their things. And so it's hard to, you can't live your life wanting to live up to every single person's belief systems, right?
No.
So you gotta just do you.
That's right. Because otherwise you're going to waste your life, and it's the greatest gift we're given. So this has been amazing. I knew it was going to be like, oh, we could just talk for hours and hours. So tell us, how can people learn more about you? How do they connect with you? That type of thing.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram, Things Andrea Says, Facebook as well. And thingsandreasays.com or dishascale.com. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Reach out to me. I love DMs and answering the DMs, and or just if anyone's interested in, actually anyone that listens to it here, if you send me a message, I have a 4-day training that I usually charge for, but I'd be more than happy to give it for free on just kind of this whole piece on emotional intelligence, inner child work, meditations, all that stuff. I'm more than happy. Just let me know you came from here and I'll give that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes,
that's
course.
Awesome. And if you send me all that, I'll put it in the show notes to make it nice and easy for everyone. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me and just having this conversation. You know?
Thank you for having me. It's been great. Yeah. We could talk for hours.
I know. This is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you.
I hope that you took a lot away from that conversation. There were so many great insights into why we get the results we get and what we can do to change. Here are my 3 insights for thriving. Number 1, we cannot heal something that we're not aware of. Back in 2011 or 2012, I was lucky enough to attend the Harvard Coaching Conference, and I got to see John Whitmore speak. He is a legend in coaching. And one of the things he said that day is that often awareness is curative. The key is becoming aware. And I think that what Andrea talked about is so important. We need to take that deep breath. We need to tune into our bodies and our emotions and look at the data that is there. Now, of course, to do this, we have to have some margin, some space, so that we can do this sort of processing work. But healing begins with awareness. Number 2, don't fight what is. I feel like this is a drum that I often beat, but in coaching as many people as I have, I see this all the time. We put all of our energy and all of our effort and our resources, our mental efforts, into fighting the existence of the problem instead of just dealing with the issue at hand. If it's raining, don't shout at the rain. Get an umbrella. I truly believe that when we fight the problem, we are giving away our power. And number 3. I loved the example of asking for patience and then having the kids screaming in the background and going through that experience. As I mentioned in the conversation, it reminded me of hearing someone say, we aren't given strength or courage or patience or confidence. We are given experiences that bring forth those qualities or that teaches us those things. This is something I've been thinking a lot about recently. And I think it's important enough that I'm going to dedicate an upcoming episode to this here in the next, I don't know, month or so. But watch for that because I think it's a really important thing. So thank you so much for tuning in and for listening. I also want to say a special thank you for all of you who have subscribed and left us reviews. I greatly appreciate that as it is one of the best ways to help us reach more people with our message that we can all thrive in life. Because I believe that we can all write our own story, we can be our own hero, and we can start today. I hope that today's episode helps you along that journey.